That's what we're figuring out, that you all didn't get it in the mail.
I know
there's one more. Yeah.
I know he went to make at least two copies.
Yeah, but you can take that one.
Yeah.
Hello, Stephanie. Really like this.
I was like looking at it online. I'm like, okay, so
I just started to skip things. What are you doing?
So okay, so you're good, right, Molly?
Yes.
I'm sorry, it's not.
No, it's fine. I just I was looking, scanning the room for like orange cover.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even register that I set my computer on it because I was like, where is orange?
So exciting, it's going to be smart to them.
Well, I just made a mistake.
But
you know, I had a bill that I got a call on the other day about how they hadn't gotten my payment, and I'm like, I sent that. And they're like, well, we don't have it. And like, and you only live in Homer. And I'm like, okay, believe me, if I was at home, I'd tell you the check number, but I'm not at home right now.
I didn't have to.
No, that's okay. No, I'm just. So you're good, right?
At least everyone's getting their benefits now. God.
Well,
like, come on, guys.
There's been, I guess, some good news, like, in regards to, like, Stripe. Like, they're going to be able to use.
Recording in progress.
We still have 1 minute, but okay.
There's people online.
There are people online. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So watch what you say.
Yeah.
Put you in timeout.
One time, back in the day.
No stickers for you today.
Look how
low
this one is really high and this one is low. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you lose status real quickly.
Oh, that's what it is.
Do I seem more
different now?
Do I seem
that is cool. I have one called Water Llama that can track my water intake, but then the Finch one you can track all sorts of things, and then you can it like is more reminders of self care, and then it's like you're taking care of a little.
Tony, I'm assuming you didn't get a board packet in the mail. I don't know what happened. I mailed them Monday. So, not this Monday, but a week ago.
You have any extras?
Leon is upstairs making copies.
Okay.
So, you should be, in a few minutes, he'll be back. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's fine.
Please do take snacks and stuff in your pockets, because they're not going to last till the next meeting. They're like, they're getting old already.
That's kind of warm.
He says,
"Oh, I don't like that one." Actually, I haven't taken
it wasn't a bad day at work, and then the afternoon I just like got so behind. Well, I got a bunch of notes tomorrow. I got. It won't be that bad. Monday night is my notes. Like, if I don't have them completed Monday night.
So
Mondays and Fridays are usually the hardest day. Thursday I can catch up tomorrow anyway, so that's not a big deal. Yeah.
Our school board ones, I used to do that. And then I'd just be like, stick it in one of my kids' backpacks. So sometimes they would do that. And they would like come to me, Mom, you have to open my backpack. Mrs. Ramage said so.
There
because, you know, there was probably confidential stuff in there, but it was, and my kids, I knew that they weren't to touch it or whatever, but.
I mean, it's kind of, it's, possible for y'all to come here and get them, but that seems also kind of
inconvenient. Yeah. And it's yesterday, or whenever I saw you, you were like, oh, it's right by the office, we can print you one. I'm like, oh, it'll probably be in my mailbox today. And sure enough, and it wasn't today, and I'm like.
You mean y'all look at these before the meeting?
Yeah, totally.
That's why I sit next to you.
So apparently for like a kid, I was talking to Molly and Lynn earlier, I have, we've had several kids who need, have autism, who need like ABA therapy, and they have to get an updated evaluation. It has to be done by an MD or a PhD. It can't be done by a nurse practitioner. And so our nurse practitioners and psychiatry who do them, it doesn't count for that. If you do it from like our nurse practitioners in developmental pediatrics, doesn't count. So it has to be the MDs from either department. And the wait list is forever. And then trying to get them anywhere else here in town, especially if you don't have private insurance, is like super hard. And so like, and our developmental pediatricians won't see kids now because of just the wait list is so long under, unless they've been starting to be seen under like 6 or 7. And so like we're talking about getting someone to like fund or fund a position like at Promise or somewhere where they have like an MD or a PhD that will do just an updated diagnosis of autism and what,
and you know
services that individual still needs.
And who's requiring this?
People for like facilities that provide ABA therapy.
I mean, that's
and then like other resources if
you
qualify. We only need an updated diagnosis. It has to be done within the last 3 years, apparently.
Yeah.
So if you're like a 14-year-old or a 13-year-old, like.
Well, and I know to get my sister on the PUNS list, and she's what, 47?
Mm-hmm.
They needed a recent IQ test or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
oh, where are you going to get that done?
Yeah, and so then, yeah, here I am calling around places, and they're just like, oh, well, wait for this. And,
yeah.
Oh, we don't do these. And I'm like,
and the wait at Lurie's, we found that was 4 to 5 years now.
Yeah.
So, like, apparently Carl has the most developmental pediatricians outside an academic center in the nation. Outside an academic center.
Yeah. Wow.
I was like, and even with us, it's a year wait. You know?
And actually, that was one of the hurdles, too, because she wasn't a pediatric.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
on a game at 8.
No,
sorry,
I'm
y'all.
Sorry to cut
not,
this discussion off, but we got to start.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But we could potentially have this discussion during.
It's not on the agenda.
Okay.
It could be
an
board announcement.
There's a game.
It could be an board announcement.
And you can just put the agenda up there because the majority of us don't have paper.
Well, Leon will be back in a second.
That's fine.
I will put it up on the. I usually do put it up on the screen, and I will do that when we start the meeting.
I'm going to watch the meeting.
Everybody's ready for me to call into order.
Mm-hmm. I'll watch the room.
Well,
the waiting room.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Thank you so much.
All right, I will now call to order. Whoa, that's an echo. Okay, that's better. I will now call to order this evening's meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, November 19th, 2025, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center, Urbana, Illinois. May I have a roll call?
Alejandro Gomez.
Present.
Terry Nichols.
Here.
Kyle Patterson. Chris Miner.
Here.
Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Emily Rodriguez. Jane Sprandel.
Here.
John Paul Joachim.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Here. All right, we have a quorum, so we can next move on to the approval of the agenda, which is on page 1. Is there any discussion about the agenda, or would anyone like to make a motion?
I move to approve the agenda.
Thank you very much. May I have a second?
Seconded.
All right. We have Palencia motioning and Miner seconding. I'm going to try to do this tonight to put it onto the record. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Next, we will move to the approved 2025 schedules, the draft 2026 schedules, and the PY27 allocation timeline on pages 3 through 10 of the packet. No action is needed, but Lynn, would you share any updates or info we need to hear about these?
Well, I would request that later, maybe during board announcements, the chair can decide whether we need the December 10 and December 17. December 10 was for a study session, potentially December 17th for a board meeting. Based on the business in front of you this evening, you may be in a better position at the end of the meeting to make that decision, whether to keep or cancel those dates. And then the other observation is we did include the 2026 schedule, even though it is not officially approved by y'all until January. But just so that you know when the first January meeting would be scheduled, and then you come to the January meeting and approve the schedule. It's kind of weird. It's really weird. But anyway, so that it's there, so that it's publicly available. And then related to that is this new the timeline for PY27, because that really starts in December. Anyway, that's it.
It sure does. And just a preview, I'm going to recommend canceling the December held study session time and meeting time. Of course, if any board members object, we can discuss that under board announcements, but you can be thinking about if you want to have that meeting or not. But I suspect we will get through all of our business this evening, especially because we have no new business. So with that, we can next move to the CCMHB acronyms and glossary on pages 11 through 22. Any updates on this? And I realized I forgot to ask if there was any board discussion on the schedules and timeline. So any discussion on schedules, timeline, acronyms, and glossary?
I guess the only thing I would ask is there any financial thing from any agencies that we're having to wait on? Because last year we did, and I just want to make sure there's nothing. Everything's good. Okay, good, good.
Like, that's amazing, and that's really, it's all them. So, yay. Okay.
Yeah, I guess the audit deadline is December 31st, so we don't know yet, but I do remember from the staff reports that there is at least one agency that already turned in their audit, so that was very exciting. Oh, two! I must have missed the second one.
Oh, it's brand new. We just got it this week.
Very nice. All right, any other discussion on those items? All right, seeing none, we can move to public participation and agency input. As always, members of the public are welcome to give the Mental Health Board their perspectives and share with us. We cannot respond directly to public input, but we may use it to inform future decisions. You can make public input by coming up to the podium. You can fill out a comment card. And if you're online, you can either designate that you'd like to speak in the chat, or you can raise your hand in Zoom. For anybody who does want to speak, agency representatives and others that might impact board actions should be aware of the Illinois Lobbyist Registration Act and take appropriate steps to be in compliance with the act. And if anyone does choose to speak, I may limit individual time to 5 minutes and total time to 20 minutes. And there will be a second portion of the agenda for that. So after that, like, whole long spiel, is there anybody who would like to make public input in person or online? I'm concerned that my spiel scares people away. It's so long. We're always working on trying to figure out how to condense that. Well, seeing none, there will be time later in the meeting for public input, but we will now move on to chairperson's comments. I had thoughts that I was going to say, and now I don't remember what they are. I am excited that, you know, we have some business tonight, but it is all the things that we're going to be voting on are things we've already seen before. So we can have further discussion on them, of course, but it's all stuff we've already looked at. So hopefully it will go fairly quickly. And yeah, this is probably our last meeting of the year. And then we will enter into 2026 and immediately begin all of the processes for the funding application. So I guess our NOFA is going out soon, or is out. Is it? Well, no. Okay. Lynn will share more about that potentially. But soon, we, you know, the notice of funding availability will be out, and agencies can begin to apply. And I think, you know, this funding cycle probably more than, you know, many in recent years is going to be critical, just given all of the constraints and cuts that are going on at the federal level and how that impacts the state level. So I'm really, really thankful that we have the Mental Health Board and our fund, and that everyone here is here and cares and wants to make an impact, and that we can be a lifeline for the community at this time. And that concludes my comments. So next we will move to Executive Director Lynn Canfield's comments.
I think I would like to defer, because I'm going to be talking about all these documents, so you'll hear from me enough. Is that okay?
Of course. Okay. All right. Comments are deferred. So we will next move to the approval of the CCMHB board meeting minutes. So these minutes are on pages 23 through 30. Action is requested to approve the minutes of the CCMHB's October 22nd, 2025 meeting and the CCDDB-CCMHB October 29th, 2025 joint study session. So any discussion on these, or would anyone like to make a motion?
I would like to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you very much. Can I have a second?
I'll second it.
All right. Minor motions. Joachim seconds. Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes of the October 22nd meeting and October 29th joint study session, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. Next, we will move to the vendor invoice list on pages 31 through 44 of the packet. Action is requested to accept the vendor invoice lists and place them on file. Is there any discussion, or anyone like to make a motion? All right, well, I will go ahead and move to accept the vendor invoice list and place them on file. Can I get a second?
Seconded.
All right, McClay motions, Biner seconds. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of accepting the vendor invoice list and placing them on file, say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are accepted and placed on file. Next, we will move to old business. We have several items to vote on in old business, but the first item is not a voting item, it's information. So it is input from stakeholders on pages 45 through 52 of the packet. Included for information only are communications with stakeholders, which were used to revise initial drafts of the new three-year plan and funding priorities. Well, Lynn, would you like to share more about these?
So we got, I'm going to try to do something here. I'm sorry that not everybody has a board packet, so I'll keep it on the screen. We did get quite a bit of input, and some of the input we got, I wasn't sure we could incorporate, and then a whole lot of the input came from those study sessions. And so I would say this year like felt so much better than prior years, where we've asked for input, had the two-month period, and heard very little back. I think that was probably a measure of the people whose opinions we rely on being overwhelmed. And this year, they gave us a lot to work with, and we tried to use all of it wherever possible. So all of the things that you didn't hear already are in here. They were through emails. Then the rest of it comes from comments that you all have made and also from input at those study sessions. So if you're interested, this is what we got. There's input here from the U of I social work that I really like the idea, but we have to be careful. It's essentially to set up a scholarship fund, and the issue around scholarships is you cannot force people to stay in the community after paying for educational assistance. So it's a little bit tricky, but it's a, you know, it's a nice idea. It's in there. But anyway, these items, some of these items impacted the three-year plan, some the priorities document, and some both, but we put them first so that you could look at them first.
Okay. Thank you. Any board discussion on this? I guess, so for the social work input, it sounds like they're more providing information about, like, it says a national movement happening in behavioral health called Payment for Placement that's encouraging any agency that's offering field placements to pay interns. So not necessarily, like, they want to share this with us that this is happening and that, like, we might be encouraged to, like...
Well, they ask for an initiative at the county level.
Okay.
So,
okay,
and I think that it's possible. It's just we would have to be careful how we would structure something like that. And it would, you know, when we assemble the priorities and the NOFA, it's kind of like, it's best built for nonprofit agencies, you know, with field-initiated proposals. So it's kind of, we're saying what we want, what you want to do with this money, and then hoping that somebody will say, yeah, we can do that. You know, here's how we'll do it. So not every great idea gets an application, and I've gotten used to that, but it might be very disappointing for others. So anyway. You do have the right, and we create that opportunity in the priorities to issue RFPs if there are things that don't get addressed through the through the field initiated grant application process.
Do we have any paid internships here? Okay. Do you need any interns? Think about it.
Maybe. I don't really like free labor, even if it's students.
No,
I like paid internships
free,
a whole lot better.
Not for free ones.
Yeah.
Me and Molly both been through UIUC's MSW program, so we know how they...
That's right. But paid internships sound kind of good. So, yeah, maybe that's...
No, I have nobody. It's just that I've been through the unpaid thing, and it'd be an easy way. We can't guarantee they'll stay in town, but if they provide a service directly to us... No.
Because you're on the board.
Oh, no, no. For now.
I was wondering if there was any initiative in a sense of, like, not requiring them to stay locally, but a lot of times I feel like for local, either unpaid or paid internships, it's a great transition for them to then become employed by that entity. So I did an unpaid one, for example, at Carl Hospital, and I ended up working for Carl for several years. And so I'm wondering if you... don't necessarily have to put a requirement for them to stay here locally, but if they're, we could offer for paid internships locally or something like that in the first place, if they're nonprofit local entities.
Yeah. That's actually in the priorities, and maybe 2 years ago, I actually wrote the language that's now in the statute governing community mental health boards that allows them to pay for internships and other types of assistance beyond scholarships, because scholarships was always in there, but that's just not the only way to help people and to get a benefit from the huge student population. So paying for some student assistance is now within your purview, and it's in the priorities document, but we have not had an application specifically focused on that. So this question of, like, would we pay interns directly? Sure. Like, I think that, sure. It's, yeah. that's
well,
great.
And I know, like, the priority that we already have, I mean, there is, like, a kind of, agencies can you know, request in their funding application, like, we want, you know, this to fund a specific position, and it could be an intern position, or it could be like an intern to employee position. Like, I guess there's different options with this. I mean, I'm glad that there's a national movement toward this. It seems like abysmally late for this to be like now a national movement for the payment for placement. But like, I think that kind of how we already have things is set up to, like, you know, encourage agencies to ask for things like that too.
Right.
And I can't speak for the student population, but I wouldn't be surprised if people were more interested in internships within an agency that's providing services than with us directly, where it's policy work and contract monitoring. Like, it's not boring to me, but if I was 20, so.
Any other discussion on the input we received from stakeholders? All right, seeing none, we can next move on to the next item of old business, which is the CCMHB three-year plan with one-year objectives. These are on pages 53 through 66, and the possible motion or motions are on page 53, just for your reference. A decision memorandum seeks board approval of the draft CCMHB three-year plan for 2026 to 2028 with objectives and tactics for 2026. Action is requested, and we have seen these before. So Lynn, would you share a little more about this?
So hopefully now that everyone has a packet, you can look. I'm so sorry about this, but now it gets better. So the only changes that we made are highlighted in here, and in your book it's a very dark, boring gray, but on the screen it's a beautiful pink. Just a very small change on page 59, because that, I think that was just an oversight that I had. Yeah. And then there are some more changes toward the end. And this was based on, I think it's all the way down here. Right after we put this together, we learned that the rumor that we had heard about our software developer was not true. So we thought we were going to have to go looking for a new database for the applications, but we do not have to. So I scratched that. Otherwise, there are no other changes from the version you saw 2 months ago. And the input that we received, I think it might have been about puns, but it's not. Yeah, I think it's okay. It's not in this version. It's in the priorities document, the puns. So anyway. That's it.
Any discussion on this before, and or anyone want to make a motion? I just wanted to say, I was wondering about that, like, reference to the software developer. I'm like, what? What happened? But thank you for clearing that up.
And can I just say that Chandra Somerville told me, don't believe the rumor, and she was right.
Chandra is always right.
I will make a motion to approve the draft CCMHB three-year plan for fiscal years 2026 through 2028 with fiscal year 2026 objectives.
Seconded.
All right. Sprandl moves. Miner seconds. Any final discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of approving the draft CCMHB three-year plan for fiscal years 2026 to 2028 with fiscal year 2026 objectives, say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The three-year plan is approved. Next, we will move to the next item of old business, which is the CCMHB PY 2027 funding priorities. And this is on pages 67 through 88 of the packet. A decision memorandum presents CCMHB funding priorities and decision support criteria for program year 2027. Action is requested. And I believe for this, the memo is the the potential motion is on page 88. So Lynn, will you share about this as well?
So this is another document that was presented 2 months ago and then sent out to a large group of stakeholders for input. We did get a lot of input. We also had those three study sessions. So there was a lot of material to move through. And I know that I didn't capture everything, so I just want to show you on top of the bottom of page 67 and the top of page 68 is a list of all the things that were added. It's really, I'm so happy about this because it's really like, makes it feel like more of a collaborative document than it has in a while. So anyway, just kind of going through it, like within the needs assessment section, we got a lot of input from Dr. Liggins Chambers, who was on the mental health board for a while. So she was very sensitive to like us, to sort of asking us to look a little bit deeper into the data that we had used here. And sometimes it was just I didn't word things quite right, like the data didn't say what she wanted it to or what I maybe thought it did. So there's some corrections in this section that mostly come from her. And then we have expansion of some data here, like about what you find in the large-scale community health needs assessment. There were more data that she asked me to dig into. We did. And so those are highlighted in green. And I think, Leon, am I right? Are her suggestions the only ones that affected this section?
That is correct.
Until we get down to DD. So I made a change that I felt like saying that the YAC, the Youth Assessment Advisory Committee, Youth Assessment Center Advisory Committee, were talking about family issues, that wasn't really fair, that I needed to be a little bit more specific and say that the family issues are scarce time and resources, nothing beyond that. So that's my clarification. I apologize for not having thought of that in the first draft. Then the section for people with IDD, that was expanded based on Kim Bowdry got a response after asking several times. She got a response from both the state of Illinois and then the agency that is sort of the gatekeeper for state-funded services. So we were able to add to the data there. And then we also got the information that PUNS no longer stands for anything. Surprise. So that we took out the acronym reference. It's just PUNS now. And then this very big highlighted section is information that came from the DD advocates who spoke to you in September. And then I continued in that with input from other special groups is all from the other study sessions. And then there are quotes, too, from people who spoke. The unknown advocate at the top of page 75 is someone who responded to the survey for DD advocates. And then you can see other quotes. Then we get into operating environment. There's just a little bit of, like, an update about the federal situation. Unfortunately, I was sorry not to have more updates, but this is where we're at the time of this writing, and then obviously things changed since then, but you know, you got to stop somewhere. Then I think there are very few changes after that. There was a mistake here in the year, and then here's the addition of paid internships as suggested by the School of Social Work and as is your authority to fund. If we can figure out the best structure for it, it'd be kind of cool to do that. And then the rest of the priorities are, I believe, fairly unchanged. We get to the end of the last priority is the collaboration with the CCDDB. And this might be the opportunity if anybody is concerned about things like people who have autism or developmental disabilities not being able to get eligibility assessments. This is one possible solution that could happen before PY 2027 is to look at that IDD special initiatives contract that goes, you're already engaged in that contract. It goes till June 30th. I don't know if this is the answer. There should probably be board discussion of that broader question at this point. But the partial solution is that you could increase the amount of that contract up to June 30th. You have the authority to do that. There is money in the Special Initiatives Fund, especially to accelerate getting assessments that people need to get any services. And there may not be a shortage of psychologists to do the testing as much as there are funds to get the testing done. But I think there's also a shortage of testers. So we can't as easily solve that. So it's a partial solution. And I've opened the door. And here's another quote. So we've got a whole bunch of information from a DD board member whose work involves research on the value of civic engagement, especially for people with developmental disabilities. It fits really well with that personal agency and concepts that Chris Miner introduced, Professor Miner has also introduced to this. I think that it also shows me an area that we'll probably want to change a lot next year to really expand on this, because civic engagement covers a lot of things, and we could ask agencies to support people in these activities more specifically. But just to create the references now so that an agency looking to improve an application or to expand can look these things up, so that, you know, without me repeating it all, they can do the deep dive. And then there are more quotes. And that might be everything. Okay, that's it.
All right, thank you very much. I love how this is like expanded from prior years and like the collaboration that got us here. So thank you. Any discussion from the board and or motions to be made? Potential motion is on page 88.
I make a motion to approve the CCMHB program year 2027 allocation priorities and decision support criteria as described in this memorandum.
I'll second.
All right, minor motions, Joachim seconds. Any final discussion?
Thank you, Lynn, and everyone else who helped add all that valuable stuff that we got from the study sessions. I know it was a lot of time that we spent together, but I think it proves we need to hear from the stakeholders, and so I think it was well done.
Very much agree. Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of approving the CCMHB program year 2027 allocation priorities and decision support criteria as described in this memorandum, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. This mic is malfunctioning. The ayes have it. The allocation priorities are and decision support criteria are approved. So next we will move to the final voting item and final item of old business, which is the CCMHB requirements and guidelines for allocation of funds. These are on pages 89 through 110. And the potential motion is on page 89. A decision memorandum seeks board approval for the draft revised CCMHB requirements and guidelines for allocation of funds. Action is requested, and we have seen these before as well. So, Lynn, please share more with us.
So I know where the first update came from a board discussion, from a board member's question about what do agencies do if they're facing really high utility bills that they didn't budget for, which like all of us are going to have to deal with that. And so there is a process already defined, but I added a little bit more language into that about like why that process is there and that we would be, that it's more collaborative. That is, it's page 10 of the, like that's the internal page number, which is kind of hard to find. Let me see.
100 on.
Is it? So you saw it? Okay. I mean, I know that's not the whole, that's not everything that maybe that you wanted, but is it okay? Like, Okay. We did the same thing with the DDB funding requirements because those agencies are going to be in the same boat this year. And honestly, there's always some unexpected. If it's not health insurance,
that's what I was going to say. Well, yeah, the health insurance, because that's going up a lot.
That's going to happen too. And then there was one other change. Let's see. The more detail on budgeting for the cost of audits. I can't remember who that came from. I think that was also a board member that asking how. Oh, that was a DD board member asking how we know what an agency expects to pay for an audit and what we look for that in the applications for funding. And Chris Wilson specifically has started bringing that detail forward in those reviews that we give you. It may not really pop out as something that you're concerned with at the time, but we're looking for it because we understand if they haven't budgeted enough for an audit, there's going to be a problem later that is hard for everyone. Okay.
All right. Any discussion about these and/or motions? All right, well, I will move to approve the proposed revisions to the CCMHB requirements and guidelines for allocation of funds.
I will second the motion.
All right, so McClay motions, Palencia seconds. Any final discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of approving the proposed revisions to the CCMHB requirements and guidelines for allocation of funds, say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The revisions are approved. And that is that the end of our voting items for the year, potentially? Woo! Yes.
And then I'm going to stop commenting, but just that... What we can do now that you have approved the structure, the procurement policy is actually that funding guidelines that you just approved, the revisions to. So having that as a foundation and then having priorities that we can publish now allows us to release the notification of funding availability. I think Stephanie has got it figured out, like when that needs to go into the newspaper and which she tries every year to add it to another newspaper and sometimes is not able to get a response. But minimally, the News Gazette and then all of our websites, it has to be published on. So if there are other ways to share it, you can grab them and share. The rule that I don't know where the rule comes from, but it's 21 days in advance of opening the system. So now we're on track. I'll be able to open the system December 19th. I really doubt anyone's going to work on them very much over the holidays, but early agency users often tell us about anything that doesn't look right to them, and they sometimes go in and look at what's expected and then work on it later. So I'm quite happy with the timeline. I hope that y'all are too.
That is very exciting. And then when would the application close? That's probably in the timeline, but...
That's okay. It doesn't hurt me to look. I think it's February 2nd, which is a little earlier.
February 2nd. You all more...
I mean, we've been giving 2 extra weeks for the last 2 years and finding that people really don't start putting things in until the last week. So hopefully they'll... Pay attention, the last week is actually the last week of January. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that. So now we will move to new business, of which we have none, which I think is the first time, at least since I've been on the board, that that's been the case. So next we will move to reports. So the first item is staff reports. These are on pages 111 through 128 of the packet. For information only, staff reports are included. And these are from Kim Bowdry, Leon Bryson, Stephanie Howard Gallo, Chandra Somerville, and Chris Wilson. Any discussion from the board or questions from the board about the staff reports?
Chris Miner is asking about the Karen Sims presentation, which
Sadly, it's already passed, but we love those. Yes. I know I mentioned earlier about there's an agency in the staff reports mentioned as having completed their audit, and it sounds like there's a second agency. So would you share for the record which agencies have turned in their audit that early that is due December 31st?
I know the answer. I don't know if any other staff feel like talking, but... One of them is the See You Early program, and the other is Crisis Nursery. And we've finished looking at both of those. So we have a CPA on contract who also reviews them, and he uses this protocol. We haven't heard from him yet, but I didn't see any problems. We've also received one of the very late audits, and we've completed review of that and are now asking questions. And I think... Chris Wilson and I were talking this afternoon about the most recent responses we got, and we might be done with that one too. So yay! that's the well experience.
Oh, PY22. Okay. I was like, not from this fiscal year, right?
Yeah, that's the PY22, and they've already started working on the PY23. They hope to get that done quickly. So I think we're done. I think we've reviewed everything that we have so far, which is a really nice place to be.
Well, experience, we're not funding them currently, are we? And the See You Early, and what was the other organization we have in?
Crisis Nursery.
Those two were usually on time anyway, right? Or imagine that.
I guess there was an issue with, wasn't See You Early because, were they late, but it was like due to an issue, or am I mixing this up with some other? Yeah, so they were late, but it was due to an issue of being part of a larger organization who is late on theirs. But I think it's worth like giving a shout out to the agencies that are in early, and like just a reminder that, you know, we have been paying more attention to, you know, when audits are coming in and applications. The review of applications with late audits has been delayed because an audit is, you know, one of the requirements for you know, being eligible for funding. So I just wanted to make a mention that, you know, that even though we have a 3-month grace period after December 31st, like having the audit in by the deadline is something that at least I look at very seriously. And I really appreciate the agencies that have done that. And there's there's 6 more weeks before the deadline. So hopefully many more will also make the deadline. Any other discussion on the staff reports? All right, seeing none, we will next move to the evaluation capacity building project update. So we will have an oral update from the team, and we also always have a link to the microlearning videos in the agenda for anyone who would like to look. So... we are glad to have you here this evening, and please give your update whenever you're ready.
Thank you. So I'm Jacinda Dariotis, and I direct the Family Resiliency Center, and I'm leading the evaluation capacity building project with fabulous team of Rachel and Nate and Dana and others. So we have a couple of updates this evening. Unfortunately, I don't have any more micro learnings to show you, but I think you've seen quite a few of them recently, and I'll talk a little bit about our plans for additional ones and trainings. But one thing that we're launching, a new initiative, is office hours. So if different agencies, so if they're not receiving technical assistance and other assistance from us, they can sign up for office hours in 30-minute increments for any questions that they have about evaluation. And so on each one of their project websites from the DD or MH boards, like this page shows here, it shows that it has the program evaluation office hours. So if anyone has questions or wants to meet with us, they can go here, they can sign up through the link I also put the link in the chat for anyone who's currently on the chat and wants to have it. And we'll also share it with the agency council on Tuesday as well. So trying to get the word out so that people can utilize this new initiative and service that we have, so that it's not only those who are receiving technical assistance that can get questions answered by us. So just to make it more formal and to let everyone know, you can ask us questions. You don't just have to email us, but you can actually sign up for office hours. So that's our new initiative. And also, we are working very closely with our working group. So we're also having a shameless plug for those who want to join our working group. We meet once or twice a month. And the working group is really supposed to be intended to change into a community of practice where they are learning from each other's strengths, but also if they have concerns or questions, that they can bring it there and then they can learn from their peers. So it will morph into that. And they also get previews of our micro-learnings and our other trainings, but also give us insights into what is most relevant and what we should be doing as we're continuing to move forward. So we get real-time feedback from agencies. So if anyone wants to join that, please let us know. Email either myself or Rachel. So you can email me at Dorritos@illinois.edu, not Doritos. But if you put Doritos in, I'm sure you'll find me through the university. And so speaking of our working group, so we just showed them a micro-learning that we have made that helps agencies create their own forms for collecting their data. So some agencies are really trying to do things because they don't have a lot of money on shoestring budgets, and they don't have a data management system. They can't afford Qualtrics, RedCap, or some other systems. And so what we're doing is we're creating a series of micro-learnings where we're actually teaching them how to utilize like Google Forms or Microsoft Forms. And disclosure, we don't get any money from them. But so that we can teach agencies how to do this. And it came from a technical assistance agency from last year that we designed this for. And so now we're creating the micro-learning so that they can see that it's actually available and what it can be used for. And then we're going to have another micro-learning after that that shows how to do data analysis with these different forms. And then having one-pagers so that if people also learn better by having reference guides, they will have those. And then doing an in-person hands-on training where people can come in with their laptops, and then we can actually train them on how to do this for their own agencies, and they can bring as many of the team members as they want to do that. And then the last installment of that would be doing some data visualization, micro-learnings, and in-person trainings. So that's our plan moving forward for the next year to year and a half for developing these different things. And they've come out of our agencies that we've worked with, as well as our working group and our needs assessment that we conducted. And our technical assistance is going very well with our three programs as well. So those are our updates.
Thank you so much. Any questions or comments from the board about these updates? I will comment. I think it's great to see, because I know that like some of the barriers are like the cost around some of these systems like RedCap, and thinking about like systems that aren't as costly, but still provide like the opportunity to collect this information and analyze it and, present it, I think is really important. And it sounds like some of that came from directly from agencies and the needs that they identified. And now, you know, other agencies will be able to benefit from this information. And I do remember seeing in one of the quarterly reports that we received, I think Grow mentioned how much they appreciate being part of, are they part of the working group? Yeah.
Yeah, they're great, and they really help us to make sure that what we're using is user-friendly and relevant and timely. So, yeah.
We appreciate all that you do. Any other questions or comments from the board? Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for the update. So now we will move on to the next two items are both deferred, but the community behavioral health needs assessment activities update is deferred. Lynn, do you know when we might expect an update on that in the future?
When the work groups meet again and I get some information. I like to go to those. I think these guys go to a lot of them too. But even if we don't go, we get notes and I would share those with y'all. There just haven't been any. So.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm like, we deferred that last month too. I know we were busy last month, but okay. So next we will move to Disability Resource Expo update, which is also deferred.
They're working on it. They're going to give us a lot of information at some point, right? I mean, it's
yes, and I was going to ask a quick question. I believe the first week of December we are going to have a recap of all the things that went on, like with the expo. Unfortunately, as you might remember, I was on the beach, so I was not there. But if anyone was there volunteering, anyone attended, anyone has any thoughts, if you want to, you know, talk to me after the meeting or send me a quick email, I'd be happy to share those with the steering committee as we think about the future.
Thank you very much. So we did have kind of an update. Is there any comments from the board? All right, seeing none, we will then move to the first quarter PY 2026 funded program service reports. These are on pages 129 to 170. And for our information, our first quarter service activity reports for CCMHB programs funded in PY 2026. So, Lynn, would you like to defer to Mr. Bryson on these reports?
All right, so what you have in your packet is a compilation of PY 26 first quarter reports. We had just maybe two agencies request a deadline extension. They were able to submit all of their reports without any significant issues. There was one agency that did not request an extension, but did get their reports in to us. And so what you see is just for first quarter activity, what's nice about these reports is you can take a look at the comment sections, and I'm encouraging all of the agencies to, you know, say a little bit more about what's going on in their programming. Some do not have much to report on other than their numbers. Others, you know, are very extensive with their comments. So thank you to all of the agencies for getting their reports in to us on time. It just makes my job a lot easier to compile the report for your viewing.
Well, thank you very much for your work on this, Leon, and to the agencies for getting the reports in. Any comments, questions, discussion from the board? I had a comment and a question. I hope that I'm remembering this conversation correctly. So I just wanted to point out under family service, the self-help center, because I remember during our funding discussion about this agency, the application review, there was a discussion about, like, can we get more numbers from them? And I hope I'm remembering this accurately. Like, we wanted to see more information from them about, like, who is using the self-help center. And I just wanted to point out on page 155 that they have provided some of this information. They provided information about email contacts, info and referral calls, page views. Like, so we do have more information on what who is utilizing the service, because I think that was a big part of the discussion, is like, how do we know who's using this? And so I just thought that was cool, and I wanted to mention that. Did I remember that discussion correctly? Oh, Leon, do I remember that correctly?
I think you got it correct. And as you noted, they did elaborate on, you know, their contacts, who they're contacting, how they're contacting individuals. So good job to Family Services.
And then my question was regarding the Rosecrans CCRT position that is mentioned in the quarterly report that that this position is vacant. So I guess I don't recall like the breakdown of our funding there, but is that the majority of what we are funding? Is this position that has been vacant, and has it been vacant the entire program year?
I could. Leon might know if it's been vacant all program year. I'm without going into the data, could look to see the proportion, but typically these grants are mostly for paying for staff costs. So it is a substantial, we don't ask for money back until the end of the year, but it's kind of an issue if like we're really counting on these services. That's also kind of a big issue, but I know that Rosecrans has sometimes had difficulty finding staff and keeping them to do these jobs that are close up to law enforcement and crisis. These are really different from typical work, and so they require special people, and it's not always easy to find them. Leon, do you know more than?
What I do know is I have an upcoming site visit with them the earlier part of December, and so I'll, you know, inquire more about where they are with that position. I think the position has been empty for a few months, and so that'll be one of my, I guess, contract requirement questions to ask.
Can I share gossip?
Also, I was going to mention about the self-help center that they also have had turnover in that role over the past 3 years. They have they've had three different self-help directors. It's a part-time position, and Joy Jones has done her part to kind of keep things going, but they have had struggle with keeping a staff person. And so there is an advisory group, and I attend those meetings when they have them. And so they just hired a new person.
Thank you very much.
So this is sort of gossip, but it's important because this CCRT program is important to us. It's important to Rosecrans. It's also important to a couple of law enforcement agencies. And not because of this contract, because as Leon said, he will be looking at that at the site visit. But I'm involved in two different committees for whom this service is a critical piece. And I've heard from other governmental units that they're pleased with the service. So that's in spite of being down a staff person. So that, I mean, that's just, you know, I don't know why they would tell me that, but positive review. And so I thought I should share good news, right? Okay.
Thank you. Any other comments on the quarterly reports? All right, seeing none, we will next move to public participation agency input. So again, members of the public are welcome to speak to the board. We cannot respond directly, but may use their input to inform future decisions. We'll limit individual time to 5 minutes and our total time to 20 minutes. So if there's anybody in person or online who would like to share with us, please denote yourselves. And is there anyone who would like to make public input? No one in person or online, so we will move on to board-to-board reports on page 171. As always, board members are welcome to serve as liaisons to community and or agency boards, and if you'd like to sign up for anything like that, you can talk to Stephanie Howard Gallo. Is there any board members who would like to share reports from other board meetings?
I can make my community coalition report. I did speak to Tracy Parsons about, because I had mentioned in our meeting after we heard the immigration services groups, if somehow those people could be included or thought about for community coalition. So he hasn't done anything yet, but I reminded him that we would like, it'd be a nice thing to look into how people with those problems could be part of Community Coalition, because I don't believe I have experienced those groups coming to those meetings. Otherwise, I'm impressed the way that the Urbana Police Chief Boone is using data to target all kinds of things and to clarify all kinds of things, so that the Urbana Police are now working with Community Coalition. And these are the kinds of, not Community Coalition, Courage Connection, about domestic violence issues. And these are the kinds of collaborations that we always hoped Community Coalition would bring forth, get people in a room, get them talking to each other about the same problems. So, and the domestic violence calls have gone way, way up. The shooting statistics were good until about, what was it, yesterday or 2 days ago. They were looking hopeful. And the only other thing I will say is that at another group that I belong to, I heard Andy Bender, who's the head of the Chess Center at the U of I, the Veterans Center, speak. And I talked to him a little bit afterwards about what kind of mental health services they provide. And it was, he gave a very interesting talk. And so now I'm thinking about how the veterans population kind of cuts across everything we do. And maybe something that I just want to keep in my mind as we look at other all the agencies that we have an interface with, because it's not, according to his talk, it's not just about PTSD. It's about losing your entire purpose when you leave the military. And then what? And he retired as a lieutenant colonel and said he had very, very dark times figuring out what's next. So that interested me a lot in terms of what we're doing. Just something to keep in mind as the veteran population. That's it.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Any other board-to-board reports? All right. Next, we'll move to county board input. Our county board representative is not here, but is there any input anyone else has heard from the county board? All right. There is none. So next, we'll move to Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input. So, Lynn, what would you like to share on that? And also, do you know if they're canceling their December stuff?
They are. So they're canceling their December meeting because they got all this stuff done. The president is moving to Colorado, so this was her last meeting. I'm going to actually fill up some time here. You guys, I know you guys are ready to leave, but this will also hopefully potentially open up an option for discussing an important issue that was kind of coming up. But the DD board had roughly the same business you had today, but they also had a discussion with agency providers who are involved in the eligibility determination. And they're talking about serious problems with the way the state determines eligibility and some fallout from that. So there are not a lot of great solutions. They have the authority to expand their own eligibility standards, but there are risks to that. We talked only a little about those risks. But just to put on the table that they acknowledge they spent a lot of time on this, there is a real problem with testing, and that one solution, because we have money, is to help pay for testing where providers are available. The question of recruiting new testing professionals did come up. It's really hard for us to insert ourselves into that process, but it might be important to do that. It was brought up by a board member. So the other thing they did that was very unique was they passed a resolution. And we don't do a lot of resolutions because they're kind of like, it's kind of just like shouting. So, but it's time for them to shout because of all the threats to people with developmental disabilities and autism. And I would like to read the resolution to read it into the record.
Thank you.
Is that okay? I mean, you are named in it. Ready? I'm putting it on the screen too. Whereas the Champaign County Board for Care and Treatment of Persons with a Developmental Disability is a unit of government established by referendum under 50 Illinois Compiled Statutes 835, and whereas this unit is referred to as the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board, hereinafter CCDDB, and is entrusted with responsibilities for evaluating and funding a system of services available to those Champaign County residents who have intellectual developmental disabilities, and whereas the CCDDB maintains an intergovernmental agreement with the Champaign County Mental Health Board, hereinafter CCMHB, which has similar responsibilities to residents who have IDD, and whereas in fulfillment of their missions and statutory obligations, the CCDDB and the CCMHB have a strong interest in state and federal funding and regulatory systems and the operating environment in general, to understand opportunities for improvement, and to advocate on behalf of people who have IDD. And whereas the CCDDB understands the current state and federal IDD system is fraught with problems and has not lived up to the promises of the Olmstead decision, deinstitutionalization, and a true community-based support and service system. During 2025, we find adequate reform of Illinois community-based services will require structural changes and enduring collaboration with people with IDD. While those federal programs on which people rely and on which local systems are built continue to encounter unprecedented new threats. Now, therefore, the CCDDB resolves to recognize that autism, intellectual disability, and developmental disability are natural parts of the human experience. Recognize that autistic people and people with intellectual and/or developmental disability have a right to exist as they are humans. Recognize that autistic people and people with intellectual and or developmental disability and other disabilities or differences are valued and celebrated diverse members of our community and the human family. Work with autistic people and people with intellectual and or developmental disability to create and sustain community-based services and supports that they want and need. Actively seek and use input from people with disabilities in policy that directly affects them and support their right to do so. Improve physical and digital accessibility of this community so that all residents are welcomed, included, and informed. Work to educate the public. Oh my God, this is long. Work to educate the public on the rights of autistic people and people with intellectual and or developmental disability in our community and across the state and nation. Recommit to achieving a community-based system of care which meets the needs and advances the aspirations of Champaign County autistic residents and or residents with intellectual and or developmental disability. Here comes the fun part. Urge our government partners, the Champaign County Mental Health Board and the Champaign County Board, to commit to achieving a robust community-based system of care and an accessible, inclusive community based on input from people with disabilities and other lived experiences. Urge other units of government operating within Champaign County, such as the Mass Transit District, Public Health District, Board of Health, Park Districts, School Districts, Cities, Villages, and Townships, to commit to improving access, accessibility, and inclusion for all, seeking and using input from people with disabilities and other lived experiences. Urge State of Illinois agencies and elected officials, as they redesign formal system of care, to commit to improving access, accessibility, and inclusion for all, seeking and using input from people with disabilities and other lived experiences, properly funding and supporting community-based services that meet the tenets of the Olmstead decision. And finally, urge the federal government to commit to improving access, accessibility, and inclusion for all, seeking and using input from people with disabilities and other lived experiences, acknowledging the unique role of direct support professionals and the value of home and community-based services, and taking steps to protect these critical elements of the country's system of care. The end. That's a lot. So that took a lot of people input to that, and I don't know what we'll do with it next, but you have been read in.
Was there, like, I guess, I know we were mentioned as, like, urged to, like, sort of work on these issues. Is there a benefit to us, like signing on in some way to this? Is that something we can do?
By coincidence, there's a lot of that in your three-year plan you just adopted. So we'll be doing it. We made a promise, we're going to do it. But I think to that, there is an idea. This came from one of those other units of government who will be participating, that we just maybe develop a short pledge of actions to take during 2026. And we would have a person who's autistic go to those units of government and present this idea of, like, these are the things we'd like you to do. I mean, it comes up in every assessment where we're asking people with disabilities for their input. It comes up that this community doesn't feel very welcoming or friendly. So I think there's real potential for letting folks design a simple pledge of action.
And I've spoken to them about it. Go to the Mattis one. There's more than one. And they tell me to write my
Any board comments or questions on the DD board input or any further input? Well, I really appreciated that proclamation, and I fully support it. Any other comments? All right. Next, we will move to board announcements and input. This is also an opportunity, I guess, to discuss if we want to have a meeting in December. Any board announcements and input, including input on meeting?
No meeting.
I would be okay with no meetings also in December, but I did have two things I wanted to bring up. I happened to get emails from Uniting Pride, and I think in the last 2 days they announced that their platform that they are using for donations is fraudulent. And so I think FBI, everybody's involved in this. So what spoke to me was, obviously, anyone who was, like, say, a monthly donor or something like that, those donations are not going to come through until they get on a new system, which I think they're in the process of doing. So obviously, their donations are going to go down until that can be fixed. Obviously, I think there's lawsuits. I mean, the people who stole their money and many other charities will be, I'm sure, prosecuted. But in the meantime, they're going to feel the effects of trusting a platform with their donations, and they didn't happen. So remember United Pride if you are choosing to maybe help an organization rather than buy a Christmas gift this season. I'm in that situation. My children are getting older. They're not children. And so I'm kind of like, let's do something for someone else. And so it's a really silly, story, but as you know, I work for General Mills, and I was working in a Walmart back room the other day, and I found some Frankenberry, and, Halloween's over. So I said to the girl, I'm going to take these 5 boxes out, and I'm going to put them on the end where your clearance stuff is. And I scanned them, and they were $1.24 each. They never made it to the clearance rack because I bought them. And when I ran into my friend who works or, volunteers every Thursday up in Rantoul at the community center up there, I said, hey, I just put some cereal in your car. Will you take it with you and you volunteer on Thursday? So little by little, my $6 is probably going to make 5 families happy. So just as you do your holiday shopping, maybe grab some extra things you can drop off at a food pantry. And I know we're all very generous people with our time and our dedication to organizations, but I guess that's my challenge to you. Think of others this holiday season.
Thank you very much. Any other board announcements or input? All right. Well, I will, I guess we don't have to take a vote on this, but I will cancel. It's not even a motion. I will cancel the December held study session time and meeting time. So that this is our last meeting of the year. So with that, we will move to adjourn. And I do have our next meeting date pulled up. So our next meeting will be January 21st, 2026, right here in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center. And then we'll also have a study session on January 28th, 2026. So with that, we are adjourned. Have a good evening and a good rest of your 2025.
Nice to meet you too, bud. Happy holidays.
We just got a new guy.
Because I realized I was like so panicked about it, and then like didn't tell anybody that I was like freaking out. I couldn't update it. I was in my room and Paula just
like doing a CARS too for autism.
She was like, no,
it doesn't take that long.
And then she was like, no, but everybody else is not concerned. Like, just try not to worry.
So it's really, so like, we've only done provider recruitment once with Rosecrans' predecessor, and it didn't work. It was 2 years trying to recruit a psychiatrist.
Well, didn't they have one that was telemedicine? And like, they're still a bottleneck.
Another,
they gave us a list of other places. I don't know if, like, there's a place called LifeStance. I don't know if they have an MD or a PhD that does testing there. But, like, it's so hard because then a lot of these people are probably Medicaid, too. And, like, Medicaid is a totally different picture than, like, private insurance. Even with private insurance, like, good luck.
Sounds like he just hasn't found the right therapist.
I don't know what the answer is.